NBC's Richard Engel in Afghanistan with more.
The Afghan soldiers walked up to the Americans. They exchanged a few words with them. It's not exactly sure what was said between the American soldiers and the Afghan soldiers. But then one of the Afghan soldiers pulled out a weapon, opened fire, killed an American soldier, killed an American contractor, and then other American soldiers in that area responded, killing at least three Afghan soldiers. Richard Engel, NBC News, Kabul, Afghanistan.
The Supreme Court starts a new term today. Same-sex marriage, affirmative action, and voting rights could be on the agenda. Adam Sandler's Hotel Transylvania broke a September box office record, taking in $43 million, beating the previous September number one, 2002's Sweet Home Alabama. This is NBC News Radio. The first presidential debate is this Wednesday. A look ahead now from NBC's Tracy Potts.
The president's behind closed doors in Nevada for the next 2 days, preparing to face Mitt Romney in Denver Wednesday.
He's a good debater. I'm just okay. But
both sides are downplaying expectations. A senior aide to the president says Romney will be prepared, disciplined, and aggressive. Romney's debate partner calls the president a tough debater.
Barack Obama's going to be formidable, and I think it'll be a good debate, but I certainly would not underestimate what Barack Obama brings to it.
And Lindsay Lohan back in a mess involving police. She invited a man she met at a club to her hotel room and got into a fight with him at 4:30 in the morning over some pictures he was taking on his cell phone. The fight allegedly got physical. Police were called to the hotel. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
What Skype did for the phone business, a new venture hopes to do to the cell phone business. Freedom Pop, backed by one of Skype's founders, begins operations today. It is the most extreme of several attempts at ultra-low-cost data plans. How extreme is this? A half gig a month of high-speed data for free. 1 gig for $10 a month, 5 gigs for $35. Freedom Pop will make money with hookup fees and by selling additional services. Half of us now own at least one wireless device, such as a smartphone or tablet. And a third of us use those devices at least once a week to look up news. That's according to the Pew Center for Excellence in Journalism. Good news for other forms of media, though. It appears looking up news on devices actually whets our appetite to get news other places as well. Stock futures higher right now. S&P futures gaining 7 points. NASDAQ futures up 15. Dow futures up 69. Most European markets lower. Most Asian markets closed today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was a right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
What's the old saying? Build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The trouble is, a lot of mousetraps aren't any better. They're just new. At GEICO, we've been saving people money on car insurance since 1936. That's over 75 years of savings. It's simple logic, really. Why not go with the company that's invented the mousetrap? Of savings, that is.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
During the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy two bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner and get one free. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner. Buy two, get one free during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome to this Monday, October 1st edition of First Shift. Yes, it is the year 2012 into October. You know, time now really starts to fly by the rest of the year. I don't know how you folks feel about that, but we mark all these holidays. We'll, of course, have... we'll have Halloween, and then before you know it, it's Thanksgiving. Before you know it, it's Christmas. Then it's New Year, and sweet God, what's going on? Not to forget about the election as well. 35 days from today, and I know that I am so much looking forward to Election Day. We're going to continue to keep our focus on what's happening statewide and nationwide with a series of really great guests today. Some of them regulars, some of them been here more regularly than they normally would be, including our first guest in the 7 o'clock hour, Kevin Holley. Kevin is the Democratic candidate for Oakland County Executive. Brooks Patterson making the news almost every day last week, but for what reason? All this free publicity and they ignore Kevin. It seems to make no sense at all. We'll work through that with Mr. Holley at 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, Mark Brewer joins us, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, with his laundry list of items. And we'll get to all of those. The blog roll segment today features our one and only love, Christine Berry, who is going to share some new proposed legislation that has found its way through the House, and it sits in the state Senate. The problem is, this is a gun law that would make it easier for everyone to get guns. It would take away some personal responsibility. And people are lining up on both sides of this issue with, I guess you could say, their guns loaded. We'll talk about that at 8:35. At 9 o'clock, Tricia Erickson will join us. Tricia, interestingly enough, is a very conservative author. We talked briefly on the phone last week. Suffice it to say, we don't see much eye to eye. With that said, she has written a book, and it deals with Mormonism and Mitt Romney. And she wants to tell us this morning why a Romney presidency as a Mormon would be troubling for the nation. These are her words, not mine. And then the current state representative, Lisa Brown, also candidate Lisa Brown, but not for re-election, no, for Oakland County Clerk. She'll be here with us at 9:35 to walk us through why she wants to switch places of employment and what she can do to help affect change in Oakland County. So with all that said on this October 1st, let's punch in and get this one going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is question. Question. You need to question things. We, of course, do that on a daily basis. We talk about that all the time. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to do some homework. Don't be afraid to question what you hear. I've challenged you on this very program and lots of times. When you question something, that does not mean that you're rude or disrespectful. It certainly doesn't mean that you're incoherent or, you know, ignorant. It certainly doesn't mean that you're stupid. No, sometimes questioning something is the quickest path to getting an answer. Well, I know that sounds like it makes common sense, but you'd be surprised how many people never ask the question. You've all heard the cliche, the only question that is stupid is the one you don't ask. Well, there is some truth to that. Not every one person knows everything, in spite of what your spouse will tell you. I'm just telling you that to question something really is not only a patriotic thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. So whether you're answering questions or asking questions, whether you're questioning something or somebody's questioning something of you, this is all part of the natural process of education, enlightenment, and empowerment. And trust me, the more you question, the more you know. That is today's first word. Okay, we welcome back on this Monday morning, Anthony. After a very mixed bag this weekend, and I got to tell you, Michigan State just doesn't look like a football team this year.
I would comment more on that, but neither do we, so that's that.
I'm sorry, who's we?
Michigan.
Oh, okay. So now we know where your loyalties lie. There's no...
It's going to be a rough fall because the Lions are off to a bad start, Michigan's off to a bad start, State's off to a bad start, so... Hopefully something can happen in these next couple weeks.
All right. Well, before we get into, I guess we can go to the Lions right now. They lost a lackluster game yesterday. Special teams for the second week in a row cost them dearly, although our offense is certainly not in sync. Lots of dropped passes, an ill-timed fumble, not that there's ever a good time to fumble. And we find ourselves 1-3 on the season going into the bye week. If you had to venture a guess, where do they need the most help to turn this around?
Oh, scoring points. I mean, right? I mean, that's what won us games last year. I guess, yeah, the passing game, scoring points, catching the ball, Stafford throwing the right balls, not turning the ball over, and the running backs, I guess, just doing what they need to do. I mean, it's rough out there. I don't know.
It is rough out there, no question about it. Mikel Ashour was very disappointing yesterday. 13 carries, 26 yards. That's, of course, 2 yards a carry. His best run ended up in a fumble, God bless him. And so it was not a pretty day. In fact, you abandoned me during the game, which I completely understood. I would have abandoned me, too, but... it is what it is. But now we can, first of all, we'll mention the Pistons open training camp today. I think this is going to be another quote unquote rebuilding year. The chances of making the playoffs at this point are not that great, but, you know, they've got a lot of young talent. It's going to take a while for this team to gel. It's just so sad that such a storied basketball team is really doing consistently so poorly now over the last 5 years, Anthony, and it just makes you wonder. I know we've got a new owner. I know we've got a new coach. I know last year's season was shortened because of a strike. Let's hope this year's different, but I don't really see us being that much better.
Well, we went through the same thing in the late 90s where we were pretty bad for a minute, and then we came back and went to 2 championships and 6 straight Eastern Conference championships, so... You know, in 3 years, if we're back to that point, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, okay, so 3 more years or 3 years counting this one and last year or what?
Either or.
Well, there's a difference.
It's going to take a few more seasons.
Okay, well, we'll let that go. And the good news, there is some good news in all this, and that, of course, would be pretty darned simple. The Detroit Tigers are one game away. That's one game away from clinching the division and making the playoffs, and they win a very close game yesterday, 2-1 on a home run by Prince Fielder late in the game. It is only the second one-run victory. It is the first run-one victory for them since May 24th, eh?
Wow. So what did they got, two on the whole year?
Yeah, they have two on the whole year. So it's and they're 0-9. They were 0-9 on the road in one run games. So they're now 1-9. But you know, it's obvious that they struggle on the road. It's obvious that they have problems with offensive production on the road. You were telling us, what, on Friday or whatever day it was, that they have the second best record at home and like
the,
what?
The first. They ended up tying for the first best record at home.
Okay, and then they have one of the worst records on the road. You factored both those in, and you basically were not going to make the wild card, that's for sure. It doesn't look like it's going to matter at this point. So any combinations of Tigers wins and Chicago losses that equal one, so that would be one game. So if Detroit wins tonight, they clinch the division. If Chicago loses tonight, they clinch the division. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But they do play Kansas City to close out their season over the next three evenings. All games beginning at 8:10. Let's see who's pitching. Rick Porcello, Doug Fister, and either Max Scherzer or Drew Smyly.
Scherzer has been ruled out for the rest of the year.
Oh, he has already. Okay, well, that's not what the paper this morning said. So I'll go with what you know because you know more than I do. So anyway, we'll just have to wait and see what happens over the next couple of days. But it looks like the Tigers are going to make the playoffs at this point.
Yep, can't wait.
Yeah, well, as things are going, yeah, that's all we got to hold on to. By the way, the Lions do have a bye week next week. I hate the bye week. I hate the night games. But it is what it is, and I'll get over it. Was there any particular game that really lit you up yesterday? Any particular score? Any particular?
Well, Saturday, that West Virginia Baylor game where Geno Smith threw for 600 plus yards and 8 touchdowns. That's just crazy.
That 8 touchdowns in one game. He had 3 receivers that caught 13 or more passes.
Get this, they only won by a touchdown.
Oh, really?
70-63, yeah.
Ha! That's funny. That's funny. Well, anyway, that's our look at sports on this Monday morning. Wish we had better news. The NHL, no talks planned. Of course, the referees, as you know, are back. Got a nice ovation in all of the stadiums that they appeared in yesterday. Didn't last long throughout the game. People were booing the refs. That's what they're there for. All right, let's take a break. If you've got something on your mind, love to hear it. 888-552-3595. Yes, I have a cold. That's what you're hearing. Yes, I have upper respiratory, you know, it's just one of them days, but we're going to work through it. I'd rather be sick here than at home. I can promise you that. Let's take a break. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking a look at your roads this morning. Crews are still working on clearing up the debris from the vehicle on fire. I-75 both northbound and southbound between Rochester and Big Beaver Road. Also, road construction has your left two lanes blocked. Woodward Ave southbound between 14 Mile Road and I-696. And at Ecorse Road, the ramp to I-275 southbound is closed. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, great steak pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard. No one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this first day of October. Can you believe it already? First day of October 2012. Our Facebook poll question of the day fits nicely with our first audio topic of the day. The question on Facebook asks this question: do you support the striking workers in the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department because of continued pay cuts and benefit reductions? Now, I got to tell you, overwhelmingly, and we've had quite a few visitors already, overwhelmingly, people are, of course, supportive. Most of this audience would be pro-labor, supportive of the strike. But what's the strike about, and what are the expectations? Well, for a little bit of that, we're going to turn to our friends at WDIV Channel 4 and get an update on this strike.
Take a look. The men and women you see behind me walking the line walked off the job this morning. They're telling me they'll stay out here as long as it takes. The strike is now on.
Detroit Water belongs to us!
Sunday morning, members of AFSCME Local 207, representing about 1,000 employees of Detroit's Water and Sewerage Department, hitting the picket line. The union president telling Local 4 his team simply fighting to save their jobs.
We're trying to keep them from cutting on our city and our employees.
The battle between these employees and the Water Commission beginning last month when a move was made to restructure. It means there's a possibility jobs could be eliminated. Almost 80% of the current workforce, according to the union. Also, there could be a 10% pay cut that could go into effect.
Trying to shrink the Water Department down to a minimal and cut the services of the community. They're trying to cement in outside control, and they're trying to cut the benefits and the wages of the workers in a very unfair way.
What does this mean for you? Detroit's Water Department serves more than 4 million customers from the city to the suburbs. Union leaders say if this strike drags on or if cuts are made, your service could be affected. Water will likely keep flowing, but repairs could take much longer. And we did just receive a statement from the public affairs manager for Detroit Water and Sewerage. Let me read some of that statement to you. It says, the City of Detroit Water Department filed a motion on Friday seeking an injunction to prevent any type of employee work stoppage. The 30 or so employees who simply walk off their jobs today will be subject to suspension that could ultimately lead to their termination.
Well, that's Hank Winchester, by the way, with WDIV Channel 4. We just so happen to have already had scheduled for the show tomorrow Ed McNeil with AFSCME, and so certainly this will be a topic of great interest. And if you remember the first time we had Ed on, you'll remember how great he was. We've got him for a whole hour in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, so we're just going to add this on the pile of things that we want to go through, and we'll look forward to having him on. Don't forget to support our union brothers and sisters who are on strike. It's sad, but oh so true that what they have to endure with these continuing and ongoing cuts, both to wages and benefits and personnel, creates quite a problem for them, and a city that seems to be unmovable at this point as they continue to offend everybody in city government or attached to a city government as a worker. Not that I find it surprising, but I do find it disgusting. There's no question that's true. And when we get to, we're going to take a call here in a minute. Once we get to the call, you know, the Detroit Police Department, officers are having a real challenge with Mayor Bing, and you know that they've been in a constant battle with him over cuts on in their pay. And this is a tough job, no question about it. Let's go to the phones, and again, we'll offer you the number, 888-552-3595. Amir in Detroit joins us now. And Amir, my brother, I hope you are well on this Monday morning.
Yes, I'm well. You know, a little cold, but I'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
Hey, just to everyone listening, think about this. Do you like your light bill? You know, it goes up often. Your water bill consistently stays the same. If they privatize our water department, what do people think is going to happen? Your water bill is going to go up tremendously because it has to make a profit. And to the workers that's striking, keep striking. Until they get their hands off their butt and figure out that, you know, you have to have workers, you have to have people in the city working to get the revenue to pay people. So for the workers that live outside the city, you should think about moving back into the city because that's what they're using to say they need to make these cuts because we don't have any revenue.
Well, listen, there was a time, you'll remember mandatory residency, that if you worked for the city or were a cop or a fireman, you were required to live within the city limits. That's not uncommon still for some municipalities, Amir. But this is about basic human rights. I mean, you can't expect people to continue to take pay cuts because the people that you elect to lead them won't lead. If the people that you elect to balance budgets can't do it, can't agree on it. This is not the fault of the worker.
No, not at all. I would never blame the workers because the administration, those that are in charge in Detroit, to be quite frank with you, Mr. Bing and his staff are idiots. And I'm sorry, but you can't keep dragging people down and think you're going to have the services that you need. You can't privatize everything and think that is going to work. So the 4 million people within the state of Michigan that actually gets the service from the City of Detroit Water Department, you should actually be on the side of the workers, and you should think about, do you really want them to privatize our water department? Well, because if they do, your water bill is going to triple.
No, you're right. Amir, thank you for your call. You're right.
Have a good day,
Tom. You bet, brother. He's right. You know, this trend towards privatization would save the city money. I don't want to say it wouldn't, but that's because they would cut pay and benefits. They can hire all non-union labor and not honor safety and other agreements. It's very problematic, and it's a horrible state of affairs. After the break, again, we'll take a look at the Detroit police officers and what they are having to endure. But I, you know, I've been, of course, advocating on behalf of the citizens of the city of Detroit now for the entire time I've been on the radio. Detroit is still, and not can be, is still a beautiful place to be. Yes, there are terrible pockets that look like a third world country. I'm not naive. I have eyes. I can see. I know what's going on. I know it's not safe. I know the murder rate's up. I know that people there don't feel cared for and cared about. And they need to. And they should. And this administration, this Bing administration, will do us all a favor by announcing that he will not run for re-election, which will open this up to lots of good people that know how to do what they're doing. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk, well, not talk, but we'll listen to some audio from State Treasurer Andy Dillon, the state treasoner, as I've called him many times. We'll take the break and be back right after this on First Shift. Thanks for punching in.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Taking a look at your roads this morning. Crews are still working on clearing up the debris from the vehicle on fire. I-75 both northbound and southbound between Rochester and Big Beaver Road. Also, road construction has your left two lanes blocked. Woodward Ave southbound between 14 Mile Road and I-696. And at Ecorse Road, the ramp to I-275 southbound is closed. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's with more fun than ever. Find game pieces on your faves like Big Mac and large fries. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see it right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning it to CDs, and I'm mailing it out to friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trio
on 1310 WDTW.
Geez, does Mitt Romney's brain bone even connect to his tongue bone? He went haywire again in a recent TV interview, declaring that there's no need for the government to make sure that every American has health care coverage, for there's always the ER. Launching into a little anecdote to show his connectedness to the real world of not millionaires, Mitt explained that if someone has a heart attack, they don't sit in their apartment and die. We pick them up in an ambulance and take them to a hospital and give them care. Well, actually, since many uninsured Americans don't get any preventative care, they do indeed suffer a big one and die in their apartments. That aside, however, plenty of knowledgeable people have pointed out that emergency room care is exorbitantly expensive, so it's far more sensible to provide universal health care. One of these knowledgeable and sensible people was a guy named, guess who? Mitt Romney. Asked just 2 years ago if he supported universal coverage, Romney said, "Oh, sure. Look," he added, "it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to have millions and millions of people who have no health insurance and yet who can go to the emergency room and get entirely free care." The wandering presidential wannabe used to denounce the ER as a form of socialism and hailed mandatory health insurance as the ultimate conservatism. And don't forget that the guy who's now touting the ER as a health care plan is the same one who passed a mandatory health insurance program in Massachusetts specifically to limit emergency room overuse. And it worked. ER use is way down in Massachusetts, and 98% of Bay State residents now have health coverage, including 99.8% of children. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that old but effective 2006 Romney model could be brought back to replace this year's defective version of the Romney. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock as promised. This from Fox 2 on State Treasurer Andy Dillon on the Detroit Police Officers Association and their gripes. Here we go.
Well, the meeting today was for the DPOA to present another way to make cuts within the police department without having to cut officers' salaries. But we're told the meeting with the state didn't get that far. Tensions flared, and now police say their First Amendment rights were trampled.
My grandmother looked me in the eyes and said, man, you look real tired. I said, yeah, I'm on them 12 hours. She wondering why I don't come around as much. I'm tired right now. Tired. They don't want you to fall asleep, but...
A rare interview from DPD officers on the job. Patrolmen don't usually speak to the media, but fed up with pay cuts and exhausted by the new 12-hour shifts, officers are speaking up and speaking out. And they say there's only one way to describe a day on Detroit's crime beat.
Long. Very, very long. 7 to 7 is starting to take a toll on everybody.
How does it take a toll on you?
You're just fatigued. You're not as fresh. You're not as alert, but you want to be alert.
Police are appealing the imposed pay cuts and changes to work rules. But now the Detroit Police Officers Association is gearing up for another legal battle against State Treasurer Andy Dillon, who allegedly threatened Detroit police officers in a Friday arbitration session.
We will not be bullied. We will not be threatened. We will continue this fight.
Joe Duncan, president of DPOA, says Dillon suggested Detroit officers should just be happy to even have jobs. And if litigation over pay cuts continues, the city would retaliate with another 10% pay cut to police. But Andy Dillon tells Fox 2 that's just not true.
I don't recall that as being a part of the conversation. I'm not aware of any more asks of the police departments, the 10% cut, and I feel bad about that. As I said before, Detroit police are not overpaid. But, you know, the city's only got so much money, so it is what it is.
Joe Duncan vows to protect the officers' First Amendment rights, even if it means taking the state treasurer to federal court. But if you think police officers' outrage is limited to Andy Dillon, just listen to Duncan's response when asked if Mayor Bing could ride along with police to experience a 12-hour day.
I could not vouch for the safety of the mayor in a patrol car with one of my members. That's how angry they are.
That's a statement, man. That's a statement. You see, this is what happens when you have people that are used to making a certain amount of money and you keep cutting their pay, cutting their benefits, and they weren't getting wealthy, not close to being wealthy. In fact, some of them were struggling just to stay above water. And then to be met with this kind of resistance, it's just downright rude and wrong. It's unfair and unethical. Is it illegal? Probably not. But we'll let the courts decide that particular issue. How much longer will the great people of the city of Detroit allow their leadership to continue to be inept and inadequate? As we learned this morning in Hamtramck, they will be laying off 12 of their 47. I'm sorry, that's not right. 12 of their 27 police officers. And I'm not police, firemen. And so you begin to wonder, how is it that everybody is balancing their budgets on the backs of public safety? As if that's the only way to go. And I don't care if these are part-time mayors and elected officials and city council members. I don't care if you are one of those. If you're a county commissioner, if you are a... I don't know, you work in the local office of the mayor. I don't care where you work. Has your pay been cut? Chances are probably not. And I'm not suggesting that they do cuts across the board. We don't need people living in any more disharmony than they already are. But this is a Republican-controlled problem. This is not a this is not a Democratic problem. It's a Republican problem. And I'm just I'm sick and tired of everybody trying to, quote unquote, balance their budgets on the backs of public safety. When your first line of financial stress is to cut police and firemen, which means that there's also financial stress in your community, do you really believe that you're making the right decision? Now, before I get the email saying, okay, Hotshot, what would you do? Well, I don't know the particular ins and outs of local budgets, but it's not always just about money. The collective bargaining process, which, by the way, just happened last year for the UAW, and I believe for City of Detroit workers, some of whom, by the way, are UAW, a great many of them are AFSCME. They belong to the Laborers Union, others as well, but I that's not the point. The point here is you've got good, committed, qualified people, and you can only ask so much of them until they start feeling threatened. And if you don't think this feels threatened, how would you like to go into work today? I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're flipping eggs or working in some highfalutin office somewhere. I don't care which it is. Your reality is ultimately what matters. You know, there are people that literally make $1 million a year that bring home less money than you and I. How can that be? Because they don't plan accordingly. They become, oh, I don't know, Republicans, and then they vote against their own self-interest. That's the ongoing question, which I'll never be able to successfully answer, because it is what it is. I don't know. I'm just so disgusted by what's going on here. Joe, let me bring you in a moment, because as we, you know, we take a look at what's happening both in the Water and Sewerage Department, and then we've got the Detroit Police Officers Association. What's going on in Hamtramck? Of course, this stuff is happening all over Southeast Michigan. The state cuts revenue sharing. They're cutting budgets. They're, you know, doing everything they can to get our, you know, fiscal house in order. But, and I realize that by law they have to balance the budget. I get that. Constitutionally, states have to balance their budgets. I get all this. But at some level, you know, again, I go back to that old definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. This is not, Joe, the first time the city of Detroit has decided to attack its own public sector workers, and it looks like they're at it again. This has to stop.
Oh, definitely. I mean, pretty soon they're going to cut everything away and then be like, okay, we just got to cut this when it's already, you know, sub-basement levels. You've already cut everything to the point where nothing exists.
Well, you know, we ran a story some months back. Charlie LaDuff did one on the shape of the firehouses in the city of Detroit. The physical shape, and they had sewage backing up in their basements. They were unsanitary. These are people that are coming to work every day not knowing if they're going to go home at the end of their shift. And, you know, now on top of this with the Detroit Police Department, not only are they going to cut pay, they're going to extend their shift to 12-hour shifts, so it'll be 12 on, 12 off. Anybody that's ever done that knows how quickly you burn out. I just don't see the wisdom in any of this, Joe. I just don't.
There's none, absolutely none whatsoever. I can't believe that they're running one of the most vital police departments in the entire state in this area that definitely needs it, and they're cutting them down to nothing, overworking them. I mean, they're treating them like they're machines or broken machines, even, that they're like, just run them out until we're whatever. We'll replace them when, who knows when.
But with who? Who's going to want these jobs? Seriously.
Exactly.
I'm being serious. Who's going to want, even if you are really desperate for work, we know that there are laid off cops all over the state of Michigan, certainly tons of them in Southeast Michigan. How long, A, before they move on to another career or perhaps another department? But more importantly, how long before people just won't take those jobs because they just don't want to be treated that way?
Exactly. I consider every one of the officers who's still out there sticking it out to be of superhuman capacity.
Oh, they're heroes. And there's no question the Detroit Police Officers Association is doing heroic work. Under these circumstances, it would be disingenuous for anybody to suggest otherwise.
Without a doubt. I mean, they're out there doing things that most people couldn't fathom doing every day at levels that most people couldn't. It's impossible to do. What they're doing right now is pretty much impossible, and they're asking them to take yet another cut. It's ridiculous. I mean, where do you draw the line? When do you realize these are people with families just like the rest of us out there protecting the rest of us?
They don't care. I mean, they really don't care. Have you ever been on a ride-along with a cop?
No, I have not had that pleasure.
You should do that sometime. I did it. It was quite a few years ago. I had a lot of good friends in the Pontiac police force. I used to own a couple of restaurants in Pontiac, and so one night I did a ride along with one of the cops that I was pretty close to at that time in my life, and it was an eye opener. I mean, it was a lot safer. Pontiac was a whole lot safer then than it is now. And I wouldn't say safe, but safer. And some of the stuff that I saw on that one night just blew my mind. And the negotiating skills that they need, the physical presence that they need. Every time that radio goes off, it could be the last call you take. And I don't mean that dramatically. It's the truth. And then you look at what's happening. We're looking at, you know, working on record numbers of homicides in Detroit, record numbers of guns committed or crimes committed with the gun, record amount of domestic violence calls. And I could go on. I don't need to enumerate the whole thing. I think I've made my point. And so we're going to cut your pay 10%. We're going to cut it 10 more percent. We're going to lay off more of your colleagues, and there's no way. Is there a way, Joe, that you would do a one-man car if you were a cop in Detroit? Would you even want to be part of that?
I wouldn't. Absolutely not. No, yeah. No.
Well, we got to do something. I mean, this has got to stop. We've got to do something to turn this around. All right, we need to get to the break. Certainly, folks, if you've got some solutions to these problems, we'd love to hear them, or if just want to vent like we are, 888-552-3595. We'll have a chance to take a look at some national headlines as well. We've also got open line time in the next hour. So trust me, we're going to get it all in, but always love to hear from you. Again, 888-552-3595. This is For a Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take this quick break and be back to wrap up this hour in just a few minutes.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
If American voters are paying attention to Romney's trip, they can't be comforted by Mitt Romney's performance.
The Chicago Tribune quoted our old friend Rahm Emanuel saying, "I don't know how he'll handle the head of state job. He's made a mess of being a tourist."
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Tired of paying bills? Enter the Live the Sweet Life contest at SweetJack.com. If you win, Sweet Jack pays your bills for a year. You could travel, get a pet tiger. That's what I would do. Enter the Live the Sweet Life contest now at SweetJack.com.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive?
are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Someone's got a nervous finger. All right, we're back. 888-552-3595, as our announcer Steve just said. Let us go to the phones and welcome Joseph to First Shift. Joseph, good morning to you, my friend. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
First of all, let me preface, I'm a retired cop, and I'm pro-union. I live in the city of Detroit, right in the heart of the city.
Thank you for your service.
And my question is, with the cops, other cities do one-man cars. Chicago does it. They do one- and two-man cars. New York does it. L.A. does it. So it could be done here in Detroit. Also, another problem with the police department here is that the contract, unfortunately, prohibits the chief from deploying the department the way he needs to. For instance, contract states you got to have so many officers in 36 districts.
Did we lose you, Joseph? I think we lost Joseph. Okay, well, let's try to get him back or have him call back, but we got dead air right now. So, I'll let him. Hopefully, he'll call back and make his point. He's a retired cop, so he would know the contract a whole lot better than I would. Again, I'm more than willing to listen to what he has to say. So, Joseph, if you're still listening, please give us a call back, and we'll get you back on the air. I'm not, like everything else, I'm not saying there's only one side to this. I'm not saying it can't be done differently. I'm not saying it can't be done better or more efficiently, because I'm sure it can. Everything can. There's a reason that we have collective bargaining, though. And, there are two sides agree to a contract. It's not like just one side does. And this, I know what people say. Well, when they signed this agreement, things were better. That's not really true in this case. Things were not better when the last contract was signed. It's not like they signed 10-year contracts, folks. They're 2 or 3 years. Rarely are they longer than 3 years anymore. And so it becomes problematic when you react to negative revenue sharing, or you react to the way the governor takes money away from your middle class and your senior citizens and children, and then you see violence and arson escalate, but in the same process, because they've cut all this revenue sharing money for a variety of pretty ugly reasons, well, then you have people that I guess are willing to break the law, allegedly, to get their way. And, so that creates, again, its own profound problems. I don't know. I can't justify this. Joseph's not calling back, so I guess we'll never know his point. I mean, I do appreciate his service. I mean, I've known in the past former members of the Detroit Police Department who were all happy to get out of there alive. And I mean that in the best possible way. But, oh, gosh, you really got to stop and think about putting yourself in harm's way every single day. And I don't know, as a police officer, are there any advantages? I mean, you know, you're well-trained. There's no question the Detroit police officers are well-trained. They, I would think, have all of their protective armor. Then if they don't, we need to make sure that they do have it and get it. But with that said, we've got to provide some kind of carrot. You just can't expect people to continue to work like this and continue to take a step back with regard to pay, benefits, and personnel. Is that Joseph, guys? Is he back? All right. Let's go back to the phones. Joseph, sorry that happened, but welcome back to the show. I'll let you continue your point.
Right. My point is, I mean, the training, the equipment, that's not the officer's fault that the city procures equipment that doesn't work. For instance, how come the city of Detroit didn't go to another city that has cameras and computers in the cars that's already been tested that they work and use their contractors to buy that equipment? No. They go and get the money separate. Turns out equipment doesn't work. Millions of dollars lost. These are things that the officers have no control of, and unfortunately, they're the victims. Unfortunately, they are the victims. But on the other hand, is it unreasonable to expect the citizens, given our financial and economic demographics in the city of Detroit, to say, well, wait a minute, you know, what's wrong with the officers doing 12s? Okay, if they're going to do, what, 3-12s or 4-12s, then they're off. In some cities, they do 4-10s. Not uncommon. But we need to, again, address the contract that the officers are under. And I'm a union guy, pro-union, love unions, wouldn't be, don't think they ought to have a union. And they should do their job. But if the chief can't deploy the way he needs to because the contract prohibits him, then we're in a kind of a mess here.
Yeah, but Joseph, how did they get in that position to begin with? As I said, when we lost the call.
I can tell you how to get
well,
there.
Well, okay, go. Do that. Tell me how to get there.
Think back when Coleman Young was the mayor. I'm trying to think of the guy who was in charge of DPOA then. I'm trying to think of that guy's name. Started with an M. He had fought with Coleman for years over residency. We want out of the city. And keep in mind, a lot of folks don't understand this, at 312, which today now really cities hate, but Coleman Young was the author of Act 312, which says a binding arbitration, police and fire, when he was a legislator. Anyway, he becomes mayor now, and that same legislation tends to bite him later on when economics change in the city. But that DPOA officer who was in charge, they fought and fought hand in nail, tooth and nail, we want out of the city. And so, as they got contracts, hey, they had staffing levels. We're going to staff 36 this way. We're going to do this way. We're going to do that this way. And now the city is stuck with that. Now, unfortunately, I don't like emergency managers. I can't stand that. I hate consent agreements. I think it's horrible. But was the city able to come in and renegotiate that contract and say, look, we need to be able to do this. We need some flexibility. I'm no bean fan at all. But I'm just saying for the city's sake, look, hey, I'm the chief. I need to get those officers out of them courts, get them officers out of these administrative jobs, and I can probably put another 200 officers on the street.
And, you know, Joseph, I don't disagree with any of that. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time in this hour, so I want to thank you for your call. And, I mean, you bring up some profoundly important points. I just want to say that the problem is compounded by every time they give, then the city asks for more, and at some point it has to stop. And maybe they don't have the flexibility they need. They obviously don't. But that's not an economic issue, is it? It's not. Wow, it's complicated. All right, Kevin Holley for Oakland County Executive when First Shift continues. We take a break for the top of the hour. Stay tuned for NBC News. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on WDTW right after this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Crews are still investigating the earlier incident that involved a car on fire. All lanes have been open, I-75 northbound. However, I-75 southbound between Big Beaver and Rochester Road, traffic is only getting through in the right lane only. And another report of a vehicle on fire this morning blocking the right shoulder, I-96 eastbound approaching the I-696 M5 exit 165. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Will it be a game changer? President Obama and Mitt Romney still cramming for Wednesday night's debate. NBC's Tracy Potts.
Both sides are downplaying expectations. A senior aide to the president says Romney will be prepared, disciplined, and aggressive. Romney's debate partner calls the president a tough debater.
2 decades after he warned America of economic calamity, Texas billionaire Ross Perot tells USA Today that we haven't learned a thing, saying neither President Obama nor Governor Romney has a credible plan to stop the red ink. It's the law in California. Illegal immigrants eligible for work permits will be able to get driver's licenses under a bill just signed by Governor Jerry Brown. And Hotel Transylvania scared up some big bucks at the box office over the weekend. The animated flick with Adam Sandler as the voice of Dracula took in $43 million. Looper, a strong number two, $21 million. And End of Watch was third with $8 million. This is NBC News Radio. A suicide attack in Afghanistan has killed at least 14 people, including 3 Americans. NBC's Atiyah Abawi in Kabul.
Apparently, a suicide bomber targeted a joint American and Afghan patrol. The 3 Americans were killed along with an interpreter that they were using and 12 Afghans.
The U.S. Supreme Court begins its new term today with a Texas affirmative action case that could further limit or even end the use of racial preferences in college admissions. Analysts say Europe may be in for a new recession following more grim economic reports, unemployment high, manufacturing low. Wall Street's looking to turn it around. Stock futures point to a higher opened. And H2, oh no, we're paying more for water. A USA Today study of 100 locations over the past 12 years shows prices have doubled in a quarter of the cities or towns and even tripled in a few. Blame it in part on repairs to crumbling infrastructure. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Fowlerville, call Ziska Grand Lockwood at 517-223-8304.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Just what you wanted, a super low-cost phone data plan. Claiming to save you hundreds of dollars a year, a startup company backed by one of the founders of Skype is switching on today. It's called Freedom Pop, and for a half gig of data per month, it will charge you nothing. $10 a month if you want a full gigabyte. Freedom Pop is not without some cost, though. You have to pay $99 for a portable Wi-Fi sleeve that wraps around your phone. Cell phone data plans are becoming more and more just a part of life. Research by the Pew Center finds a third of us now use devices such as phones or tablets to access news at least once a week. Half of those who look at news on a device say it spurs them to spend more time consuming news elsewhere. Stock futures right now higher. S&P futures gaining 6 points. NASDAQ futures up 16. Markets in Europe are mostly up in the neighborhood of about 1%. Most markets in Asia are closed for a holiday today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Up, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Nerlman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no. Were you sick too, sir?
Nerlman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this first day of October 2012. First day of the week, first day of October. Oh, I'd like to see some more firsts. I'd like to see, well, in just a moment, we're going to listen to Kevin Holley. I'd like to see him debate Brooks Patterson. I don't know if that's going to happen. Speaking of debates, as you're all aware, Wednesday night is the big debate, the first of three between two presidential candidates, President Barack Obama and Willard Romney. Should be interesting. We'll talk about that a little bit later on at the bottom of this hour. But in the meantime, if you've been following the news, certainly listening to me rant and understanding that L. Brooks Patterson has been given a gift by the local media. They seem to kiss his ass nonstop. Here he was involved in an accident, which they were at least partially responsible for. Even though they were hit, it was determined that they were going over the speed limit, away over the speed limit. It kind of begs the question, had they have been going the speed limit, would they have been at that intersection at that exact time? Chances are the answer to that question is absolutely not. But Brooks, besides talking to conservative media like, oh, what's that jackass's name? Oh, that's right, Nolan Finley. And the other one would be Frank Beckman. Besides doing that, he is basically hiding in plain sight. So the Kevin Holley for Executive campaign, just asking some fair questions, number one, and the Oakland County Democratic Party as well. Brooks, we need to see how you're doing, not just hear how you're doing. And when do you think you're going to be able to campaign? Joining us now is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive against L. Brooks Patterson, Kevin Holley. And Kevin, I want to welcome you back to First Shift.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, I mean, the media has been, in my opinion, terribly unfair to you. You don't complain about it, and I respect that. I mean, you know, I know you don't control it, so it's kind of hard to complain about something you don't control. But Kevin, we're dealing with some pretty serious issues here. One of them, I would think, and it's a fair question to ask, what is the physical fitness of the county executive, and should he even be running for re-election at this time?
Well, and from our standpoint, the question has always been, and we certainly, you know, wish Brooks the best, and hopefully his recovery continues well. It sounds like it's going pretty well. The real question has been about transparency. You know, voters just need to know, you know, what kind of condition are you in? Are you going to be able to really run a vigorous campaign? What are your plans after the election? I mean, our question has only been around transparency, and let voters decide and then let people plan from there.
No, absolutely. And they're not doing that. Now, you, of course, amongst the many things that we're going to talk about this morning, you, of course, have called for three separate debates with your opponent, L. Brooks Patterson. I'm going to assume, and if I'm wrong, you'll correct me, that they've not responded to your request.
Well, the media response on Friday or Saturday, I think it was Friday, was basically Patterson called our request a ploy. And, of course, you know, we did respond. I mean, we don't see this as a game. We see this as a serious matter. This is not something just a benefit that inures to Brooks Patterson every 4 years. This is something that belongs to the voters. Voters get to decide. It's not a game that Patterson gets to set the rules for.
No, well, you know, I think it's fair. But so the media responded, but again, the re-election committee for Brooks Patterson did not respond.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Patterson's campaign that called it a ploy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They called it a ploy. So that was our response to that.
Okay, well, so at this point, there is nothing scheduled. You know, the problem, Kevin, that I'm having with this, I had a little bit of a meltdown about this last week on the show, as you know, is that you are a serious candidate. You do address what's happening in Oakland County in a very serious way. You actually have a plan to move Oakland County forward. And yet here, you know, the Patterson, L. Brooks Patterson, and his driver technically do something illegal. They were both ticketed. And I'm not talking about just not wearing a seatbelt. That speeding, you know, it was determined they were going at least 53 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. Back off 8 miles an hour, he's not at that intersection at the time that car comes through to hit him.
Well, and to be fair, we're trying to stay away from the nuances of that because I know that the police are on top of it now. A trial has started for the driver of the other car, and so these are some of the facts that they're trying to get on the table. But, you know, back to your point about identifying ideas, I mean, that's just one of the things we've been stressing with the media. The Patterson campaign has not proposed or put forth a single new idea or a single new path or new approach to move the county forward. He has made it clear in recent statements, and all of a sudden he's out there talking all the time, that he intends to run on his record. Well, the record as we see it is, you know, having lost over that 10-year period from 2000 to 2010, 175,000 jobs, and the number of kids on poverty more than doubling, and median household income, you know, declining more than 16%, and housing values. I mean, these are the issues. So, you know, he's not even discussing them, much less offering ideas.
And I'm not going to, listen, I'm not going to pick on his age. I mean, he is 73 years old. He has been at this 20 years now. There's been a rumor, and I'm just going to throw this out there, Kevin, and if you don't want to comment on it, feel free to pass, but there's been a rumor that I have heard now from many different corners of not only the county but the state that Brooks Patterson is counting on reelection. Once he is reelected, he will then resign from office, handpick a successor, and then at that point the Republican-controlled county commission will then vote whether or not to accept his hand-picked successor, and we all know this stuff happens behind closed doors, and they do their public thing, which is, by the way, illegal. But it will happen. It's just the way these things work. Have you heard this rumor?
Well, yes, I have heard it, and there's lots of chatter out there. I mean, I think it goes back to our call for transparency. I mean, voters just to know what's going on so that there's a fair playing field. What's in our control is to make sure a couple things happen. One is to make sure I win, and then it avoids that problem. I think the second part of it is to make sure we help Democrats who are running for county commission get a chance to win so that they can have 11-10 majority on the county commission. But I think, you know, when you look at the situation in the whole, people say, well, okay, now he said he's not going to do that. Well, you know, the problem is this is a person who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars going through back channels to redistrict Oakland County to the benefit of Republicans. I can't take it, the statement, on its face, and so we just have to work hard to make sure we're going to win this race.
Well, there's no question about that. Yes, you're not looking to win it on a technicality. You're not looking, and you're not even asking him to step down because of his health. You've done nothing of the sort. In fact, you continue to work as hard as you possibly can to get elected. I know that you're running a very aggressive campaign. You're doing a very grassroots campaign. I know you've knocked a ton of doors. You even mentioned that the kids have gone on some of these excursions with you, which I find absolutely amazing. It's a great thing. It's great for them to see democracy at that level at this age. You know, but Kevin, at the end of the day, you know, I go back to the way Frank Beckman treated you on his show, where he tried to put words in your mouth to make Brooks look better. I realize they're friends. I get that. Kevin, you and I are very friendly. We don't hide that. I mean, you and I talk off air. You know, I've been very supportive. I've sent you a donation to your campaign. So I don't hide any of that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I certainly wouldn't get Brooks on this show and try to put words in his mouth. And I found that offensive. You handled it well, with a lot of grace and dignity, and you showed a lot of leadership. So maybe at the end of the day, Frank Beckman did you a favor.
Well, and that's what we've been contending from the beginning in terms of having Brooks in this race and wanting a race. I mean, Beckman was trying to infer or suggest that having Brooks out of the race was better for Democrats. Frankly, it silences the debate generally. But I think more important to that is that I'm the only one offering ideas and solutions. And so when I can make that contrast, it's a very easy contrast to make. I want him in the race.
Well, yeah, but you know, you were also quoted in the paper a couple weeks ago of saying you feel like you're running against a phantom candidate.
Well, and at that time, I definitely did, because we didn't know what Brooks's condition was. There had been no statement about his situation. So I think we all think we feel like, for the most part, we know a little bit more now, but the phantom kind of still exists if I do show up at a debate, if there is one scheduled, and he's not there. And, hey, if his health is preventing him from being there, I have great respect for that. I understand the situation. And, you know, again, we just wish him the best. But without transparency, we don't know what's really going on.
Well, and that, of course, is the challenge. And, you know, let's talk about what I believe we do know. He has a broken hip, a broken ankle, perhaps some other fractures. I know he's still bruised up. According to the paper, he's lost upwards of 40 pounds, which is not unexpected. This op-ed by Nolan Finley certainly doesn't paint the most robust picture of Brooks Patterson, Kevin, which surprised me a little bit that he was as honest as he was in his portrayal of the way Brooks looks right now. But at the same time, he's not running the county. And I doubt very much that he has the strength to be doing anything that's county-related. That should be a concern to his constituency as well. Kevin, we've got to get to the break. Stay with us. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and chat some more. Kevin Holley is my guest. He is the Democrat running for Oakland County Executive. You're going to find him online at howleyforexecutive.com. Howley, H-O-W-L-E-Y. forexecutive.com. If you'd like to join us, you got a question or comment for Mr. Howley, give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues on 1310 WDTW right after this.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. Taking a look at your roads. Crews are still working on that earlier reported fire. I-75 southbound between Big Beaver and Rochester Road. All lanes are closed except the right lane. Also, slow-moving traffic. I-94 westbound between Metropolitan Parkway and Gratiot Ave. And you can also expect to see some brake lights. I-75 northbound between M39 and M85. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310.
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Kevin Howley again, my guest. He is Democrat running against Brooks Patterson for Oakland County Executive. If you are just joining us, as many of you know, Brooks Patterson was in a fairly serious car accident some months back. He is currently rehabilitating himself and healing in a home. I'm going to guess some kind of convalescent center while he heals and getting medical treatment, which is fine. And we all want him to recover. As you also know, the older you get, he's 73, the harder it is to rebound from something like that in a fairly expedient way. But there are still some serious issues. And unfortunately, the media has given Brooks Patterson once again a pass. He does have a legitimate contender in Mr. Howley, who has put out a fairly bold approach to how to move the county forward. You can find all that information at howleyforexecutive.com. But, Kevin, my My next question for you is, the county recently passed a budget. Was there anything in that budget that looked progressive, forward-thinking, providing any kind of impetus for business? Was there anything that protects health care or wages or shows that there will be growth in hiring? Anything at all in that budget that we need to, you know, give him credit for?
Not a thing. And that's the sad part about this whole process. And I think, you know, when I'm out there talking to folks, the question about whether or not Brooks should step aside, in my mind, really has nothing to do with his age or his health. I mean, the reality is he hasn't proposed a single new idea in the last 5 years, and this latest budget doesn't reflect any forward thinking whatsoever. And the other sad part about the budget process, the Democrats on the county commission have tried, you know, in vain to provide some creative thinking around the budget. In fact, they made a point of structuring 8 proposals to put before the county commission at the last minute, because those ideas did not get heard in committee. They got tabled. And every single one of those ideas, potential resolutions to the budget, got voted down without discussion. I mean, you can't tell me that every idea a Democrat has is bad. The problem is they're just bad ideas because they're Democratic ideas. Although the values underlying those proposals, you know, they're nonpartisan. They just happen to come from a Democrat.
Well, you know, not that any of this surprises us. It's just frustrating at a time where Oakland County, still considered the best zip code in southeast Michigan, zip codes in southeast Michigan for the most part, still considered one of the wealthiest counties in the country, still has a great deal of great real estate that's available for a variety of reasons. And we're not going to pin all of that on Brooks. The economy went bad. Brooks wasn't necessarily responsible for that happening. But how we respond to it is something that we can be culpable for. That's something that we can hold up and say, okay, well, you were met with this challenge. You decided to worry about your credit rating more than growing your communities. You forgot about your poor constituencies. And we know he's ignoring the less wealthy in Oakland County. Kevin, we can easily track that. And so as we take a look at, again, his vision for the future, we have really nothing to go on unless we want to look backwards, because it looks like that's where all of his ideas are. You said 5 years. 5 years. So look back 5 years. I guess that's what you can expect in the next five.
Well, absolutely. And I think the thing that is frustrating for me when I try to talk to, I guess, the conservative media or folks that start perhaps on the conservative side, is I try to lay out the issues. I'm not even assigning blame. You know, let's talk about the 6 or 7 things that are impacting Oakland County, and then let's move forward. And the problem is, well, I get this defensive response. Well, you're trying to blame Brooks Patterson? Well, it's Jennifer Granholm. It's Barack Obama. You know, I'm like, let's just move forward, because if we don't acknowledge these issues, you obviously can't present ideas. And that's what has happened with the Patterson administration. They ignore the problems and don't offer new ideas.
How concerned are you as an Oakland County resident that its chief executive in Brooks Patterson has not been on the job in weeks?
Well, you know, the reality is there haven't been a lot of new ideas at the table anyway. So, you know, I don't know that, honestly, we've lost much. Has it really become a ceremonial position? I hope not. We need vision. We need strategic thinking. We need leadership. We need somebody to actually move the county forward with some energy and some vigor. So, you know, his absence in some ways has really been an absence around the lack of discussion on the issues. And that's my real concern. People get in accidents. Accidents happen. He has the right and certainly the support of everybody in the community to take the time he needs to recover. Now, we all support that. The real issue is, what are the issues that are going to move us forward?
If he's got time to sit down with Frank Beckman, he's got time to sit down with Nolan Finley. I would imagine he should have time to answer the call, at least one debate at some point. But let's move on. Kevin Ali, I'm going to just, because we don't have a lot of time left. If I were to say, what would be your first 3 priorities as Oakland County Executive, what would you tell me? What list would you give me?
Well, first and foremost, we don't have a broad strategy and a broad vision for the county. And as you mentioned a little bit earlier, this county has been divided for a long time. The southern part of the county has been ignored. The communities that are struggling with poverty have been ignored. And frankly, a lot of our new immigrant communities, those voices are not being heard in the county. And I think for me, being a businessman, it doesn't make a great talking point for a 30-second clip on TV, but we've got to create a process to engage the community, to create a strategic plan to figure out how to move the county forward. On a more kind of direct and practical level, I think we have to attack workforce development issues, workforce training issues. We've got businesses in this county that cannot find employees. You know, I was just out in Milford last week for a community meeting, and there are several business owners there who said, hey, I'm hiring, but I can't get employees here, and I can't find employees that have the right training. I talked to the businesses in Troy, and businesses there are talking about their IT needs. They're outsourcing some of that overseas. They don't want to. They want to be able to find it here. So that's another component. And I think the macro picture around what we do with this job situation, you know, employment in the county for county employees is one thing. But having a county, even at full employment, we've lost our position, our image as the place where businesses want to headquarters and entrepreneurs want to start their businesses. And that's what we have to focus on.
Well, you know, again, it's just because I've spent a lot of time with you at this point. We've talked about these issues before. I've been to the HowleyForExecutive.com website repeatedly to prepare for our interviews. I know that there's a plan in place. I know that you would be able to certainly track the kind of people in leadership positions to surround you to move this county forward. And let me remind this audience, as I did on Thursday last week, Kevin, that, or maybe it was Friday, but I reminded them last week, you've turned around nonprofits. You've turned around companies that were headed for the toilet, and not only did you turn them around, you made them profitable, and they're thriving today. This is something you know how to do.
It is. It's why I got into this race. I mean, people ask, well, why don't you run for state senate or something? And, in my heart, I know what I'm good at. I'm good at getting things done, and this is a challenge that certainly within my wheelhouse.
Yeah, well, God knows, I believe you're an impressive guy. Folks, HowleyForExecutive.com, again, the website. Kevin, don't worry, we'll be talking again before Election Day. In the meantime, keep on doing what you're doing. Hold his feet to the fire. Maybe we might see one debate out of this.
Thanks for your efforts.
As always, Kevin Howley, I appreciate you. All right, a quick break. We're going to be open lines. I've got some audio to get to in the next half hour. So stay where you're at. Let's get this done. Don't punch out. We got a lot more radio to get to as we work our way through this Monday morning, October 1st. This is First Shift, and I'll be back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Taking a look at your roads, crews are still working on that earlier reported fire. I-75 southbound between Big Beaver and Rochester Road. All lanes are closed except the right lane. Also, slow-moving traffic, I-94 westbound between Metropolitan Parkway and Gratiot Ave. And you can also expect to see some brake lights, I-75 northbound between M-39 and M-85. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, great steak pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A caravan of buses from Chicago carrying supporters of a warehouse workers organizing committee strike will join a mass mobilization of labor, faith, and community organizations in Elwood, Illinois, Monday. The rally is across the street from the Walmart warehouse, where the strike is underway. Civil disobedience is planned as a group of clergy and community leaders will block the road, preventing goods from coming in or leaving the warehouse, and they will risk arrest. The workers are on strike to protest unfair labor practices and other abuses. Workers have been on strike since September 15th.
When workers approached management about wage theft, unsafe conditions, and discrimination, the workers say that management illegally retaliated against them. The workers are being supported by the Warehouse Workers for Justice Workers Center in Illinois. Over the weekend, Teamsters President Jim Hoffa attended the union's School Bus Workers Congress in Chicago. The Teamsters Drive Up Standards campaign to organize school bus drivers has brought 35,000 bus drivers, aides, and mechanics into the union since 2006. Hoffa told Workers Independent News that many school bus drivers are struggling with very low wages and poor working conditions as they drive students to schools nationwide.
They really are working very hard, and many of these people don't even have cars. They have to sleep on the buses. They take the kids to school in the morning, and then they sleep on the bus in the yard, and then they go back at night to pick them up. You know what it is for us to get them a raise, to get them health care for their family? Many of the people are African-American. Many of the people are single moms. That's so important what we're doing there, and I'm very proud of what we're doing.
On Tuesday, the Robin Hood Tax Campaign is visiting congressional offices, urging that members of Congress sign the Robin Hood Tax Pledge. It's a pledge to support H.R. 6411, the Inclusive Prosperity Act. That bill would raise $350 billion in annual revenue to be used to rebuild Main Street communities and to fund international health, sustainable prosperity, and environmental programs. It uses the Robin Hood tax, which is a 0.5% tax on the trading of stocks and a lesser amount on bond trading, derivatives, and currency trading. U.S. Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota sponsored the bill. He says the American people provided hundreds of billions of dollars to bail out Wall Street and bore the brunt of the crisis with lost jobs and reduced household wealth. He says this financial transaction tax would provide much-needed revenue to invest in education, health, and the Main Street communities of America. This newscast, made possible in part through underwriting from the OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union, and by the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. You'll forgive my less than stellar voice this morning. Yes, I am fighting through a little bronchitis, a little upper respiratory thing, but I'm fine, and I will be fine. I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be. This is a big week for both campaigns. On Wednesday night, trying to navigate this in my head, and it makes me dizzy, from 9 until 10:30, the presidential debate, the first of three, will begin. And I'm still not sure how I'm going to consume the debate. So I will, of course, decide by long before Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. But yesterday on the Sunday morning talk shows, it was about expectations, expectations of the president, expectations of Mitt Romney. But it is clear that most people are saying Mitt Romney must do extremely well if he expects to move the needle on what have been fairly horrific polling numbers for him over the last 3 weeks. And we see that the president, we see that the president continues to widen his lead. With that said, the Democratic National Committee put together a little video montage over the last few days about the expectations of Mitt Romney. They titled it Great Expectations. We'd like to share that with you now.
A lot of Republicans are looking at October 3rd as a big date on the calendar. It's the first of three presidential debates and perhaps Mitt Romney's next best chance to try to regain some traction.
Governor Romney has to shake things up Wednesday night, doesn't he?
He's going to. I mean, every time Mitt Romney has been confronted in this campaign with one of these moments, he has come through in a debate and performed extraordinarily well.
Is that another way of saying if he doesn't win these debates, he's not going to be president?
Well, no challenger is going to become president if they can't stand up to the incumbent president.
I think what Mitt Romney needs is a game changer in the first debate.
The fact of the matter is, that has to be what happens after this first debate. The narrative has to change. The polls have to move. Romney has to clobber the president.
What does it mean for Governor Romney? I mean, does it mean that the debates are basically make or break?
Yes, in a word, yes.
The debates are going to be the make-or-break point. Either he's going to change the public's perception of him as a potential president or not.
It is an absolutely critical moment for Governor Romney, and we'll see whether all the practicing can pay off.
Romney is a very calculating, data-driven guy. You tell him you get 90 seconds to answer a question on Libya, he's probably going to have a good answer. He's going to do well in the debates.
He is the better debater. He's the more experienced debater. He had a lot of debates.
I think you could argue that Mitt has had a lot more recent experience.
He's very good under pressure. I think that the debates, and especially the first debate, will be vital.
So I have absolute confidence that when we get to Thursday morning, George, all you're going to be shaking your head saying it's a brand new race.
I think the first presidential debate is the biggest night of Mitt Romney's political life now.
All right, so what do you think? What do you think is going to happen on Wednesday night? 888-552-3595. And do you think this is make or break for Mitt Romney? There are three debates. This one is on the economy. And so when you know the topic in advance, it does make it easier for both candidates, not just one. And, you know, this is where the president's supposed to be his weakest, on the economy. If we're playing the expectations game, as we hear, Paul Ryan talked about yesterday. Paul Ryan, as he was doing a Sunday morning interview, said, you know, we know the president's an excellent orator, and he goes on and on and on. And so the Republicans, again, are not on a unified message, which is what I find really interesting. Some of them are saying, as Chris Christie did, you know, it's going to be a whole new race on Thursday morning. Might not be for the reason he thinks it is. But that's what he's saying, where others are saying, no, you folks are making much ado about nothing. You know, as John McCain was saying earlier this morning on the Morning Joe program, that, you know, all Mitt Romney really has to do is talk to the American people. There was some speculation as I was doing reading to prepare for today's show yesterday that Romney has been practicing, you ready for this? One-liners that are 140 characters or less. What do you think that sounds like? It sounds like what? A tweet. So he is actually practicing lines that can be easily tweeted. I'm not saying that's a bad strategy. I don't know that it is. That's how we move information in this day and age. So I'm not saying that's a bad strategy. At the same time, the president is going to be more eloquent. He's probably going to be more verbose. Makes it a little tougher for Twitter, you know, lines. But that's all right. You know, ultimately, it's really going to be about the people that are watching. Of course, the real spin begins later that night and into Thursday, where everybody's going to take Willard's comments out of context and President Obama's comments out of context. And you got to know if there's a gaffe on either side of this thing. The other side is going to pounce on it. And I'm just being honest. And we all know that'll be true for the Democrats as well as it'll be for the Republicans. I fully get that. But what are your expectations for Wednesday night? Are you expecting, to watch? And are you expecting a trouncing by the president over Willard Romney, or are you expecting an even exchange? Are you expecting Mitt Romney to clobber President Obama? I got to be honest with you. I really don't know, especially on this topic, which way it will go. When you have an economy that's mired, it doesn't matter why it's mired where it's at. We know that George Bush created the mess. We know that this Republican Congress that has had now almost 2 years to right some wrongs and refused to do it, you know, they want to throw everything on the Democrats. Of course, it's the Republican Party that's been obstructionist for these many, many, many months. How will it get spun both in the debate and after the debate? And if it's supposed to be about the economy, and that's Mitt Romney's strong suit, here's the problem. It's Mitt, not Romney's strong suit as a topic. But because he refuses to articulate in any favorable fashion his plan, what he will do. Paul Ryan gives an interview yesterday, or he gave a speech yesterday, where he said that he would explain Governor Romney's tax plan, but it's too complicated. He actually said that. It's too complicated. So, obviously, people don't have deductive logic. They don't have, you know, just kind of general sense of right and wrong. And I could go on and on, but the reality is, it's just such a stupid thing to say. Oh, that's okay. It won't be the last time we're going to get something stupid to say, because there will be plenty of it. Again, the president could make a gaffe just as easily as Mitt Romney can. Trust me, both of these men are exhausted, and over the course of the next 35 days, you will find that, yeah, there's going to be obvious, looking at them, there will be obvious fatigue. What energizes them the closer they get to the race is pure adrenaline and nerves, and they will survive this, I assure you. They're both very healthy men. I can't assure you, because God knows anything could happen. But I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed by the Obama campaign at this point showing some great restraint, because although they are tampering a little bit expectations, they certainly are very confident, as they should be. I read a survey this morning that I thought was quite kind of fascinating. If the election were to be held today, President Obama's chance of reelection would be at 97%. 97% likely. If he still has the numbers 2 weeks from today, chances of him becoming president, 81% today, 97% 2 weeks from today, if not 97% of the vote, 99% chance that he would likely be reelected. Because there's a big difference. And there's no way he's getting 97% of the vote. I can promise you that. But it would be a good start to a second term if he won decisively on November 6th, because that also sends a message. You know, one of the things that we have to take a look at is in areas where Mitt Romney is not doing as well as they would hoped, like northern Michigan, you have the Democrat running for Congress, Beneshek, doing extremely well against an incumbent Republican, but Romney does better in that part of the state than either candidate. So, you know, there are people that are willing to cross the political divide and vote for a Democrat for some things and a Republican for others, and that's truly what makes this a democracy, isn't it? Having the right to do that, you don't have to. You can just write straight ticket. I happen to enjoy reading it. I don't necessarily enjoy filling it out, but I do enjoy reading it, the ballot, that is. So, well, you know, this is interesting stuff, folks. Interesting, interesting stuff. All right, we're going to get to a break here in just a moment. But before we do that, and when we continue, we're going to do a little Paul Ryan and a little bit Chris Christie on Meet the Press. We're going to start with Chris Christie, because this guy is either delusional, not a very good spinmeister, or the campaign needs a new top-tier spokesman. And, your calls are always welcome. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. If you have not seen the new website yet, go check out thetonyshow.org. We'll come back and wrap up this hour on the other side.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
My point is to Republican adults. When 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Before I go any further, I want to thank all of the leadership and the membership of Teamsters Local 243 for inviting me to speak with them yesterday morning at their weekly union meeting at the Union Hall in Livonia. They made me feel very warm and comfortable and welcome. And I can't thank them enough for inviting me and listening to me bloviate on and on. It seemed to be well received. These are very serious times, and we are looking for very serious people to solve our problems. I'm not one of them. Kevin Hawley is one of them. Candidates. Dr. Syed Taj is one of them. These are very serious people that can solve what ails us or ails us. And so I want to, again, thank them so much. This afternoon, late this afternoon, I will also be a featured speaker at the Taylor Federation of Teachers Union meeting. That's the TFT at UAW Region 1A. That is closed to membership only, as are most union meetings. I'm very much looking forward to going out and speaking to the Taylor Federation of Teachers this afternoon, late this afternoon, at UAW Region 1A. And then this upcoming Saturday evening at, I believe it's 7 o'clock, the Lapeer County Democrats have invited me to be the featured speaker at their congressional dinner slash fundraiser. So I'll be traveling to Lapeer on Saturday evening to give some remarks. And let me back up and say on Thursday night I will be emceeing a dinner for my union, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, as they hold their annual Stewart's Appreciation Day dinner, which I am honored they asked me to attend and to be just the MC and to give some remarks. So I'm including that in there. Don't want to forget that. And then, of course, Saturday is Lapeer County. And then next weekend I got a whole different agenda, which brings me to my next point. The calendar is filling up quickly, but I am more than happy
to come speak to your group or organization, either it's a union hall, a Democratic club, or anything in between, just give me, send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and if I can make it work, I will. Be mindful that when I speak in the evening, I generally take off right after I speak, only because I have to get up so early in the morning, or I would gladly stay. Sometimes I get the opportunity to do that. Sometimes I don't. But this will be on Thursday night. It'll be Thursday night, so I won't be staying too terribly late. But looking forward to being with my brothers and sisters of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, or as my friend Ed says all the time, the retail clerks, which they haven't been since the 70s. It's not that Ed's living in the past. It's just, you know, old habits are hard to break. Okay. A little more. And again, so thanks to the Teamsters Local 243. Very quickly here. On Fox News, Chris Wallace asked Paul Ryan, the vice presidential candidate, why they're not winning. And, well, his answer is, well, I'll let you decide. This is Fox News.
Wednesday's debate is not going to focus on foreign policy. Right. By the rules, it's going to focus on domestic policy, especially the economy. Looking back over the historical record, the question is, why aren't you guys running away with this race? Let me put up some statistics. Unemployment is 8.1%. No president has won re-election with unemployment that high since FDR in 1940. GDP growth in the second quarter just announced 1.3%. We checked. No president has won re-election with GDP growth that low since they started measuring growth in 1930. Question. Given all of that, why are you and Romney losing at this point?
We're going to win this race. Given that, we're going to win this race.
But you're not at this point. You're losing.
Look, we can debate polls. I can tell you this. The president's offering four more years of the same. And the president has been very good at distorting the issue, at disguising the truth. He's been very good at distracting people. He can't run on hope and change anymore. So he's running on division, on distraction, on distortion to try and win an election by default. Mitt Romney and I are going to give people a very clear choice. Here's what you need to do. Here are the pro-growth policies to get this economy growing, to get economic opportunity, to increase more take-home pay for the middle class, to get people out of poverty into the middle class, to get economic opportunity, job security. We're going to show the country, here's what you need to do to tackle these problems.
Yeah, we're going to show the country, this is what we need to do to tackle these problems. We're just not going to tell you how we're going to do it. We're not going to give you specifics, because as Mitt Romney has told us on more than one occasion, that's exactly what the other side wants me to do. They want me to say what I'm going to do so they can criticize it. Really, Willard? At the president's website, BarackObama.com, there are literally thousands of pages of what the president will do. Thousands of pages. On Mitt Romney's website, well, not so much. Yeah, he doesn't want to, you know, Paul Ryan says it's too hard to explain, the math is too hard. And trust me, we're going back to that trust me thing. And that's really what the Republican mantra is, trust me. Trust me, trust me. You can't trust anybody. Even your friends in this scenario, you can't trust. So, just saying, ladies and gents, just saying. Very quickly, we actually have enough time just for one more. Ralph Reed on Meet the Press. Go ahead and run that real quick.
One of the things, Ralph, if I can interrupt, this is something that Romney says he wants to do in the debates. He had a conversation with Good Morning America about that. Let me play just a portion and have you respond to it in particular.
I think he's going to say a lot of things that aren't accurate. I think the challenge that I'll have in the debate is that the president tends to, say things that aren't true and in attacking his opponents.
Give me an example of what he would want to attack, what the president has done, and how you think Romney will handle it.
Well, I think President Obama has, and I want to be charitable here, has a casual relationship with the truth. He's very eloquent. He's extremely articulate. He's very bright. Anybody who thinks otherwise, who thinks that when you untether him from the teleprompter, that he doesn't bring his A game, is underestimating him. But here's the problem. His words are very eloquent, very flowery, very tickle your ears, but none of it is true. He said that unemployment would never go above 8% if we passed his stimulus plan. It's never gone below 8%. He said that he would cut the deficit in half in his first term. He's doubled it, and he's increased the national debt by 50%. He said he would change Washington and put an end to the partisan rancor. Washington is more polarized and more paralyzed than it's been in the modern era. The Senate, which his party controls, has not passed a budget in 3 years, and we're 92 days from a fiscal cliff, which the CBO says is going to plummet us into a double.
Those might be broken promises. I think people would challenge you on the idea that those things are lies.
All right. They are not lies. They are speculation. That's all right. We wanted to make sure we got it out there. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. The chairman himself and Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan in the next hour. Lots to do. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues after NBC News.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
I-75 southbound between Big Beaver and Rochester Road has finally been reopened. However, there is still stop-and-go traffic in that area. We also have slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. And traffic is stopped on I-75 southbound between Square Lake Road and Crooks Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Polls say the advantage goes to President Obama, but Mitt Romney supporters say that's going to change after Wednesday night's debate. NBC's Peter Alexander reports both candidates are cramming for the face-off.
The president has already held four mock debates. Mitt Romney had a full-fledged dress rehearsal with aides here in Boston late yesterday. Romney heads out to Denver today. The president is already out west.
The Taliban claiming responsibility for a suicide attack in eastern Afghanistan that has killed at least 14 people, including three Americans. The U.S. Supreme Court begins its new term today with a Texas affirmative action case that could further limit or even end the use of racial preferences in college admissions. Wall Street's looking up. Stock futures point to a higher open. And good news, bacon lovers. Economists are dismissing reports of a global shortage next year, but say the price of the breakfast treat is expected to sizzle up 10%. Blame it on the drought. This is NBC News Radio. Wall Street continues to outpace Main Street, turning in a bullish third quarter of 2012. CNBC's Mandy Drury.
We have just closed out a surprisingly good third quarter for the stock markets, Natalie. In fact, it was the best since 2010. There is some caution now, though, that we might be ready for a pullback in the market.
Meantime, analysts say Europe may be in for a new recession following more grim economic reports. Unemployment high and manufacturing low. Starting today, Medicare will begin fining hospitals that have too many patients readmitted within 30 days of discharge because of complications. It's part of a push under President Obama's health care law to improve quality while also trying to save taxpayer money. And the police force in Vaughan, New Mexico has gone to the dogs. The police chief quit, citing problems at home. His number two pleaded guilty to assaulting a relative. That leaves Nika, the town's drug-sniffing dog, as the only member of the force officially allowed to make a collar. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Your vote counts, and your vote can win at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, vote for your chance to win $50,000. Now through November 6th, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get a green car election game card for a chance to win $50,000. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillyAuto.com for official rules and full details. We're O'Reilly Auto Parts, and we approve this message.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's top acne system because it works. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Proactiv heals acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers can try Proactiv risk-free and get a free dark spot corrector just for participating. Plus, free shipping. Call 1-800-243-6665. That's 1-800-243-6665.
If you're a fan of getting vitamin C the natural way, you will like this news. Traders of orange juice futures are deciding the big one, as in hurricane, may not come to Florida this year after all, so they have sent orange juice futures down 9.5%. We've been telling you about the stacks of lawsuits traded between makers of smartphones and tablets, principally Apple and Samsung, but a multi-year patent dispute on a much bigger scale, at least in terms of the product at issue, has been settled. Whirlpool and LG have agreed to settle their patent infringement fight related to their lines of refrigerators. Three suits are being dropped. All other information is being kept behind closed side-by-side doors. Despite reports showing manufacturing activity shrinking in China and Europe and expectations manufacturing is still shrinking here in the U.S., stock futures are higher. S&P futures right now gaining 5 points. NASDAQ futures up 14. Dow futures right now tacking on 55. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
And second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, the first day of October 2012. 35 days till Election Day. Get ready. It's going to be a big week for both Republicans and Democrats, both at the local level, the state level, the national level. All the races now kick into full gear if they haven't already. And some important work to do moving forward. And, you know, we just have to keep our eye on the ball, that's for sure. Let me just remind you, feel free to join us. Just stay on topic, 888-552-3595, or the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And, again, I want to thank my good friends out at Teamsters Local 243 for inviting me to speak with them yesterday morning. Really had a great time out there. With that said, let's do an intro and get this hour going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This is really governed by press release. I'm trying to get as hard as possible for people to find out how to vote and to actually get out and vote. They're doing everything they can to try to minimize turnout among people who tend to vote Democratic because they believe that that helps them maintain their grip on power.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And it is that time again. We turn our attention now to the Chairman himself, and I welcome back to First Shift, Mark Brewer. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Tony. Great to be with you, as always.
And appreciate it, my friend, as we inch ever closer to Election Day. So much going on. I want to spend a little bit more time this morning than we normally maybe would talking about the Supreme Court, race, Mark, because there are some drastic differences between the candidates that have been endorsed by the Democratic Party and those that are endorsed by the Republican Party. But before we get specific, you on the Michigan Democratic Party sent out a press release last week talking about Michigan Supreme Court Corruption Week. Mark, what was that all about?
Well, Tony, it's just what you were indicating. We're going to be talking about, actually, we're going to do it again this week. There's so much corruption going on our current Supreme Court. 1 week wasn't enough, Tony. But last week we did announce, and we did every day, talk about a different issue that showed the corruption of our current Supreme Court and the Republican candidates for the courts. And just every day, even late last week, Tony, another example surfaced. And we really want to make this an issue in the race in just over 5 weeks.
Well, what kind of things are they doing that you would put in that corrupt file, Mark?
Well, let's give you an example. The canons of ethics, those are the rules that govern judges and judicial candidates, are very clear that judges, justices cannot engage in fundraising for political parties. Well, we discovered recently that Justice Markman was a featured guest a few months ago in a Republican Party fundraiser. Obviously, he was there to advance his own election, but a clear violation of the canons of ethics. He cannot, should not, and no judge can be involved in partisan fundraising, and we're looking for evidence, and we think we found it, that actually some of the other Republican candidates for Supreme Court have done the same thing. Again, this is all about this arrogance, this corruption, Tony, that they think they can get away with this kind of stuff and not get caught. Well, we're going to call them out on it when we find it.
Well, you know, and again, it's this the rules don't apply to me syndrome. I mean, these are Supreme Court justices. They can't claim ignorance to the law now, Mark, can they?
No, they shouldn't. You would think somebody who's sitting on the highest court in the state would be aware of the ethical rules. I mean, Mark has been a judge for a long time. But flouting them like that. You know, another example we highlighted on Tuesday, Colleen O'Brien, who's the third Republican candidate for the Supreme Court, a former insurance company lawyer, I might add, no surprise there, was in a real dogfight, Tony, to get the nomination, to become the Republican nominee for that third slot. And in the course of that fight, she sought and got the endorsement of the corrupt Speaker of the House, Jase Bulger. Prominently listed it on her website, but then obviously embarrassed by the fact that there's now a grand jury investigation, she pulled it down from her website. We called her out on that, and lo and behold, the website went back up. But we're still calling on her to renounce that endorsement. You know, does she endorse the kind of conduct that Bulger and Schmidt engaged in? If not, she should renounce that endorsement and say and distance herself from the speaker. I doubt she will, because of this, again, this culture of corruption. But again, just another example of the extremes to which these Republicans will go to get some success at the ballot box.
Well, you know, certainly, as you said, you're going to continue to keep an eye on this, and we're going to continue to call them out. I also recounted a story that you had put out last week about the Maroon family maxing out to two of the justices in campaign contributions. It just happened to be two justices that had ruled in their favor on more than one occasion over the last year.
That's right, and this one is particularly bad, Tony, because literally, I think within weeks of that max out occurring, those two justices, Markman and Zara, put the Maroon Bridge proposal, I think it's proposal 6, on the ballot. And isn't that the first time that we've seen this kind of, you know, special interests make their contributions and then they get the kind of decisions that they want? We're going to highlight actually a couple more examples this week. I mean, it's brazen. It's bald-faced to see this kind of thing going on, that, you know, contributors put their money in the machine called the Michigan Supreme Court, and out comes a decision from these Republican justices, not so coincidentally, we think, favoring those very interests who are funding the court's campaigns.
All right. We want to play back-to-back. There are a couple new ads out for the candidates that we had in studio last Tuesday, Judge Sheila Johnson, Judge Connie Kelly, and Dean at Michigan Law, Bridget Mary McCormick. There are two ads, television ads, running right now. We want to play that audio back-to-back. If you would, guys, play that audio, please.
After my daughter Lily was killed at the hands of a child abuser, I vowed to spend my life protecting children. I know how important it is to have judges who protect them, too. For years, Michigan's Supreme Court has turned its back on victims of sexual assault and abuse. But Supreme Court candidates Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, and Bridget McCormick are different. With zero tolerance for violence against children, these three protect families.
Because they can't run for judge, we need our judges to stand up for them. Judge Connie Kelly, Judge Sheila Johnson, and family advocate Bridget McCormick are three candidates for Michigan Supreme Court who've spent their careers protecting families and victims of crime. From getting criminals off our streets to keeping kids out of gangs. And unlike some judges, they have zero tolerance for violence against women and kids. Kelly, Johnson, McCormick. These three protect families.
Yeah, and Mark, before I ask you to comment on both of those ads, you know, the first one is an absolutely terrible case where this young mother's daughter was murdered, and the judge gave the family a pretty rough time. You know, certainly as we got to know these three women who were on the show last Tuesday, I've got to tell you that the predominant feeling amongst the audience, both those that are conservative and liberal that listened to this program, was that they all sounded very judicial. I think there's a compliment in there, Mark.
Oh, absolutely. Tony, I think those ads draw an important contrast in this race. When you and I were just talking about the corporate special interests, be they insurance companies or big banks, whatever they may be, who benefit and finance the current justices on the court, in sharp contrast to our candidates who spent their lives standing up for families and kids against special interests in many, many cases. And that's exactly what those two ads are about. Lauren Furneaux, in the ad we've come to call Lily, the child abuse victim, actually sought us out, Tony. She heard about our candidates and was persuaded that they meant what they said, and those are the kind of candidates that she thinks she should support and put on the Supreme Court. So she sought us out. She publicly endorsed our candidates last week in her hometown up in Lapeer County. And as you saw from the ad, first-person testimony about just how important that issue and these races are to Lauren. So we're very honored to have her support and endorsement going forward. The other ad that you ran was our introductory ad introducing our candidates. And again, talking about kids can't protect themselves. They don't have a vote. They can't run for judge. So they need people who are going to watch out for their interests on the court. And that's exactly what our three candidates will do. They will be fair. They will be responsible. They'll be even-handed. But they will not constantly cater and kowtow to the corporate special interests that are running the court now.
Oh, I've got to tell you what really impressed me last week, especially with one of the candidates, and I just remember this quite clearly, Sheila Johnson was asked a question, Mark, and I don't even remember what the question was, but she said, you know, I have to be careful how I answer that, because if elected, I may be asked to give an opinion on that, and I don't want to have to recuse myself from a case that might come before me. And I thought, you know, there's a visionary. There's somebody that is, you know, visualizing winning, and I liked that. I liked that a lot. We've got to take a very quick break, Mark. There's a lot more to get to when we come back, including a little preview of the debate on Wednesday night between President Obama and Mitt Romney. How are things looking in the 1st Congressional District poll-wise? Well, we're going to update you from the numbers for last week, and you might even have reason to start smiling a little bit, 1st Congressional District. But we'll take this break, and we'll do it all on the other side with Mark Brewer. Chairman stays with us. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trivio.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
I-75 southbound between Big Beaver and Rochester Road has finally been reopened. However, there is still stop-and-go traffic in that area. We also have slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. And traffic is stopped on I-75 southbound between Square Lake Road and Crooks Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together. Until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Together we stand. Divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. I've got to imagine, Mark, you're at 7 days a week now and have been for a while. But on Wednesday night, I would like to think you were going to take a little respite around 9 p.m. and Round one begins of a three-round match between President Obama and former Massachusetts Governor Willard Mitt Romney. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, it's pretty clear that the Romney campaign has really set expectations very high. As they've done it themselves. I mean, you had Governor Chris Christie yesterday, Tony saying this is going to be a game changer, this debate. So we're expecting, you know, Romney to come out very nasty, frankly, attacking the president and trying to dodge his own record. And, you know, he's a very experienced debater. I mean, if you look back, he's run for president twice now. He's been in more presidential debates than any other candidate in our history. So I expect it to be that kind of night, I mean, the president is very good, don't get me wrong, but Romney's really got himself in a corner and has raised the expectations very high. So I think he's going to come out nasty and attacking, and we're going to see what happens.
Well, there are a lot of Obama for America offices that will be having watch parties, and so if people just want to go to they can just search for Obama for America. You'll find exactly where the closest one is to you. If you would like to join some folks in watching that in a more communal way, I like my debates private because I end up doing a lot of screaming, and I don't want people to see me that way. But it's okay. I think, Mark, as we kind of take a look, I was mentioning this a little earlier, there have been a couple people that have suggested that Mitt Romney has been working on, you know, one-liners, they're calling them zingers, that would be perfect for a Twitter feed. And I'm not so sure that's necessarily a bad strategy, but doesn't he have to be just a little bit careful, Mitt Romney, I'm meaning, that he doesn't come down too hard on this guy? I mean, it's not that hard to make a connection, as much as President Obama may not want to do this, between where we're at now and how we got there. And of course, I'm speaking about George W. Bush. Even the Republicans admit that he's the reason for this.
Well, that's right. That's why I think Romney will do everything he can to deflect attention. He'll attempt to give two one-liners, but also he's been burned by trying to do that in debates. Remember the infamous $10,000 bet?
Oh, yes.
From the Republican presidential primary?
Yeah, he and Rick Perry.
You know, really backfired. Showed him to be out of touch. I mean, you know, a lot of folks are lucky to make $10,000 in a few months, let alone make a one bet on that basis. So I think this is, you know, it's very dangerous for Romney as well, but he's done it. It's his campaign that says he's going to do this, and so we shall see how it comes out on Wednesday night.
Yes, we will. Well, I'm looking forward to Thursday morning nonetheless, and we will see. It's this, of course, the debate, as I said earlier, focuses on the economy and only the economy. So 90 minutes of economic debate. We'll see what we get. Mark, I had teased before the break that we've got some new numbers in the first congressional district. And give us an idea of how Gary McDowell is doing with Dan Benishek.
Well, there's actually a third poll out last week that shows Gary McDowell leading. Apropos of your earlier comment, Tony, I was up in the first district this weekend. I saw Gary. Campaign's going very well. We're in the home stretch, though. We can't take anything for granted. The Republican Party has really started to unload on him now. 60-second TV spot, throwing everything but the kitchen sink at Gary McDowell. But if he stays the course and continues to do what he's doing, which is pointing out, you know, Benishek's bad votes, his support of, you know, voucherizing Medicare, getting rid of Social Security, et cetera, he could be on track to win in November. So we're encouraged, but we cannot be complacent about that race or any of the other races in the state.
Well, let's turn our attention for just a few minutes here to the 11th Congressional District. The pundits, Mark, those prognosticators out there, maybe they are procrastinators at that, have taken the 11th from leaning right to likely right. Or Republican. Your thoughts on that? Because I think that Dr. Syed Taj is running quite a hearty campaign, and we do plan to have him on this week. He's going on TV this week, which will help him as well. Your thoughts on that race?
I think he is running a very good campaign. Again, you contrast that to the Tea Party extremist that's running against him, the guy who would abolish the 17th Amendment and go back to appointed senators, among many other things, who's hiding, Tony. Not a public event. Last week, Dr. Taj was endorsed by the Observer and Eccentric newspapers in that district. He continues to work very hard, door to door, on the ground, as you said, going up on TV this week. We've done mail with him and for him. So we continue to work very, very hard on that race. You know, national pundits, I don't pay attention to their opinions or their analyses. They don't know what's going on the ground in Michigan. So we're going to do everything we can to put Dr. Taj across the finish line ahead of that Tea Party extremist come November 6th.
Well, of course, we're going to look forward to having him on later this week and talking to him about his vision for the district. I find it, Mark, literally impossible to believe that even the Republicans, and especially in the Oakland County part of that district, would have any comfort level with his opponent. I just can't see that they can wrap their arms around him. And, you know, as you know, I know that district quite well, not the newly cut district, but certainly the old part of the district. I grew up in Oakland County, Mark, and used to own two businesses in Oakland County. I know the district well. You know, there's some reasonable Republicans there. I just can't see them wrapping their arms around this guy.
That's right, but our challenge is, Tony, is to get out there and educate voters. It's always the challenge of a campaign. I mean, that's why Bentivoglio is hiding, because, you know, he doesn't want to talk about his radical views. I mean, he agrees with the rest of the Tea Party, you know, voucherize Medicare, privatize Social Security, cut veterans programs, just, you know, terrible ideas which would be very harmful to people in that district. But he's hiding, hoping that he can avoid disclosing those views until after Election Day. So it's our challenge, Dr. Taj's challenge, to get out there and educate folks about the contrast between the two candidates. I think you're right, Tony. If people understand the real choice here, Dr. Taj can prevail. We've got to make sure we educate folks about that in the next 5 weeks.
Well, the good news for Dr. Taj is he had a primary against a wacko, and now he's in a general against a wacko, so at least he's got good practice. And, you know, the one thing that you can say about Dr. Taj, he not only is he a smart guy, not only does he understand the issues, not only does he lean the right way, not only is he open-minded, all that being said, he is an amazing human being. He's a great father. He's a great husband. He's a great physician. It's rare to find a candidate like that, especially in a district like that, that needs someone maybe a little more moderate. He fits that prescription, if you'll excuse the pun.
That's right. He's got a great history of working with Republicans on the Canton Township Board. He's a really an American success story, Tony, the kind of thing we always talk about somebody who has worked hard and succeeded on his own merits, but also understands that we're all in this together, and we've got to have programs like the Affordable Care Act and other programs that make sure that everybody shares in the prosperity.
Until next week, Mark, thank you again.
Thank you, Tony. See you next week.
All right, the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. A quick break here when we continue. Christine Berry in our blog roll segment. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
I-75 southbound between Big Beaver and Rochester Road has finally been reopened. However, there is still stop-and-go traffic in that area. We also have slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. And traffic is stopped on I-75 southbound between Square Lake Road and Crooks Road. My name's Tim, and that's your Total Traffic Update.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO.
The corporate special interests and the Lansing politicians that they fund have worked very hard to keep people from getting to vote. They were unsuccessful. We know that Governor Snyder filed a brief in support of Schutte's opinion. It is interesting.
interesting that no Michigan governor or attorney general has ever taken such drastic action to prevent citizens from exercising their right to vote.
Chris Schiff with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Geez, does Mitt Romney's brain bone even connect to his tongue bone? He went haywire again in a recent TV interview, declaring that there's no need for the government to make sure that every American has health care coverage, for there's always the ER. Launching into a little anecdote to show his connectedness to the real world of not millionaires, Mitt explained that if someone has a heart attack, they don't sit in their apartment and die. We pick them up in an ambulance and take them to a hospital and give them care. Well, actually, since many uninsured Americans don't get any preventative care, they do indeed suffer a big one and die in their apartments. That aside, however, plenty of knowledgeable people have pointed out that emergency room care is exorbitantly expensive, so it's far more sensible to provide universal health care. One of these knowledgeable and sensible people was a guy named, guess who? Mitt Romney. Asked just 2 years ago if he supported universal coverage, Romney said, "Oh, sure. Look," he added, "it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to have millions and millions of people who have no health insurance and yet who can go to the emergency room and get entirely free care." The wandering presidential wannabe used to denounce the ER as a form of socialism and hailed mandatory health insurance as the ultimate conservatism. And don't forget that the guy who's now touting the ER as a health care plan is the same one who passed a mandatory health insurance program in Massachusetts specifically to limit emergency room overuse. And it worked. ER use is way down in Massachusetts, and 98% of Bay State residents now have health coverage, including 99.8% of children. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that old but effective 2006 Romney model could be brought back to replace this year's defective version of the Romney.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Yes, I'm sure some of you are wondering, would Christine Berry ever return to First Shift? What happened to her? What drama was unfolding behind the scenes? Well, none of that, actually. She just had a couple of weeks where she couldn't make it. But I wanted to make it sound like more than it was, so that's why I did that. With that said, let me do an introduction and get this thing going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us now is, yes, the rumored guest herself, Christine Berry, on the other end of our guest line. Hello, Christine Berry.
Good morning, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sister. So if you were going to play the four digit today, would you play 5225?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like a lucky number to me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like one to me either. We're going to talk about House Bill 5225 today. And after Christine kind of lays this out a little bit, wowza, wowza. You know, it just goes to show you, because if you don't pay attention, and this thing's a whole lot closer to making it to the Senate floor than people are going to be comfortable with. But give us a little background on House Bill 5225.
Sure. Okay, so HB 5225, introduced by Paul, Opsommer?
Yes.
Last December. It started out as a much weaker bill than it is now, and it deals with the requirements to purchase pistols in Michigan, okay, just in short. The original bill was, it was kind of weak, like I said. It changed your purchase to permit from being only 10 days to 30 days. It made purchases to permit free of charge and things of that nature. Now, if you're not familiar with how to purchase a gun in Michigan, this is the process, okay? So for me, for example, I would go to, if I wanted to buy a handgun now, not a long gun, a rifle or whatever, I'd go to the Shiawassee Sheriff's Department and I would apply for a permit to purchase the gun. They would run a background check on me. They would then give me the permit if I passed that background check. Then I had 10 days to go and use that permit to buy my gun. When I go to a federally registered firearms dealer, they will also run a background check on me through the federal NICS database. Okay, so as it stands right now, Tony, we've got two background checks in place, one of them local and one of them federal, and you have some small fees there because of the applications and so on. Okay, so that's how it is right now. Originally, 5225 would have said, okay, instead of 10 days, you have 30 days. Your permit application is free. There's no charge. And if you wanted to buy more than one gun or get more than one permit, you only needed to have one application and not multiple. So that's how that was when it started. By the time it passed the House and by the time the NRA was done with it, it completely repealed all permits. It repeals handgun registration, and it requires local law enforcement agencies to destroy all of their records on handgun registrations.
What's the wisdom in that?
You know, this is, here's the thinking as it's been explained to me by advocates of this bill. There's already a federal background check, so to have the locals get involved, there's a redundancy that is not necessary. Maybe it's anti-liberty, whatever. This is the conservative pro-gun lobby speaking. They don't believe that registration is required. So, you know, my thinking is that it's always better to have a local and a federal background check. You know, there should be a threshold that you have to meet to purchase a gun. It shouldn't be an impulse buy. And the Michigan State Police and other law enforcement agencies, there's a number of mayors across the state of Michigan. The domestic violence protection groups have all come out and said this is crazy. The House Democrats who voted against the bill, and there were 11 House Democrats who voted for this bill. Okay, this bill actually was passed out of the House, I think it was in August, ended up in the Senate. The Senate Judiciary Committee has passed it with a recommendation to have it pass the Senate and be given immediate effect. Now, there were 11 Democrats in the House who supported it. One of those was Roy Schmidt, so he doesn't really count, but there's another 10 real Democrats who supported it. The rest of them opposed it on the basis that, you know, it does what we said. It limits background checks. It limits licensing. It also, in some way, limits the provisions to prohibit firearm sales to minors. And I couldn't exactly figure out how that was, so I kind of left that alone. But that's something interesting, too. So, you know, to me, this is a bad idea. It doesn't, our gun system as it is doesn't infringe upon your right to get a gun if you're qualified to get it. Now, the bill itself, 5225, does not change the fact that if you have a PPO against you or if you're convicted of certain crimes or if you're found legally incompetent in some way, you still aren't qualified to buy a gun. You also have to be either a citizen or a legal resident of the state. But what it does is it takes that process away from law enforcement and local law enforcement and relies completely on the federal database. The House Democratic, I shouldn't say the Democratic caucus because I don't know if that's true, but the House Democrats who were opposed to it said that only 52% of handgun sales in Michigan are affected by the federal database check, because that's only going to take place if you're buying a gun from a federally registered firearms dealer. Over 60,000 handguns were sold in private transactions. So, for example, Tony, if you wanted to sell a gun to me, I would have to go to the sheriff again and get a permit to purchase, show you that, you'd sell me the gun. So there's the background check in that transaction. 5225 would eliminate that completely.
Sounds awfully dangerous, and here's my concern. Somebody that's mentally unstable makes it easier. Somebody with a criminal background perhaps makes it a little easier. Anything that makes it easier concerns me. Now, I want to be upfront about this. You've posted on this at bloggingformichigan.com, and I really want to encourage people to go over there and read that. We'll get it up on the Facebook page, but I really want people to go read that. But I want to make a point here before we have to go to the break. You are pro-gun. You are not a Second Amendment expert, but you are not anti-gun.
Correct. I own guns. I like guns. I don't apologize for it. I'm a liberal gun lover, and there are a lot of us. And I think that there are a lot of liberals who could have gotten behind the original version of 5225, but the NRA got involved, and now it's just a crazy, crazy bill.
Wow, this is just one of those things where you really scratch your head. Now, let's do a little, a little path following here. And so it does make its way through the House. Okay. It ends up in the Senate where it's just kind of sitting stalled right now, right?
Yes, and only because Randy Richardville hasn't wanted to bring it up for a vote. And I suspect this has a lot to do with the Michigan State Police opposition to it. The state police went in and testified at the hearing to say why they were opposed to it. They brought up data on, handgun crimes in Michigan and how our current process helps them prevent or solve some of those crimes. So I'm glad that the MSP is there and being vocal about it. And I think that's what's slowing down Randy Richardville. Michigan Public Radio also reported that Governor Snyder's opposition to this bill may be based on that MSP opposition as well.
Well, certainly when the Michigan State Police get involved and weigh in, I'm always concerned, especially with this legislature, because they don't seem to listen to experts. They don't seem to listen to common sense. And I'm not being rude. I'm really not, Christine. We have plenty of precedent for what I'm saying here. And so, it goes back to follow the money. I'm just going to throw it out there. Is the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, involved in this legislation at all?
I think so, but I found a much stronger connection with the NRA than with ALEC directly. There's an email that I put in my post, and I've linked back to the source, between Paul Opsommer. It's actually from him to the president of Michigan Open Carry, and he was saying, send your ideas to the NRA because we're using the NRA legal counsel to kind of craft this bill. So, it's there for everyone to see that this is an NRA-written bill, and the NRA also has the substitute language posted on their website, and you can compare what they wanted in the bill to what actually ended up in the bill. So, and there's another crazy thing that comes up, and I don't know if we have time, Tony, before your break, but in a private transaction, this bill also puts the burden on the purchaser to know whether or not he can legally buy the gun. So if I am declared legally incompetent or something, it's still the burden is on me to know that I could buy a gun from you or not. And the seller has absolutely no legal burden other than if I were to say, hey, I have a protection order against me. I'm a felon. I don't live in Michigan, something like that. Then you couldn't sell me the gun. Otherwise, you have absolutely no legal burden to not sell it to me.
Hey, wow, that's disturbing.
Doesn't sound good to me.
No, that's disturbing. Christine, we need to take a quick break here. Stay with us. We're going to come back and finish our discussion on House Bill 5225. Yeah, don't play those numbers today, folks. They don't sound lucky to me. All right, well, we're going to do that. Christine Berry with bloggingformichigan.com and our blog roll segment this Monday, October 1st. We'll take the break here. We'll come back, wrap up this hour. On the other side, you're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Tony Triano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that.
If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. We've got a few minutes left here in this hour. If you've got a question or comment for Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com, now would be the time to ring us up, 888-552-3595. We're talking about House Bill 5225, and it's one of those head-scratchers for me. You know, it's interesting because, you know, you write in the post, let me just read this real quick, Christine, that the NRA-ILA has indicated support for the bill. The Michigan United Conservation Clubs has indicated support for the bill. And then you say the Michigan State Police and the Michigan Department of Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Prevention and Treatment have both indicated opposition to the House bill. You've said the governor is not necessarily leaning in the direction of supporting this. Maybe this just doesn't get out of committee in the Senate.
Well, it's already out of committee, but it's not on the agenda for a vote. And Gongwer reported that the Republicans, well, I should say that they said the Republican caucus, I think they're talking about Randy Richardville, are not anxious to get it on the agenda. They have no plan, no timeline to put it up. And I'm not sure exactly what's holding it back, but I can tell you that if, you know, this is why it's so important we take back the House, Tony, because even though it's already passed the House, a Democratic House next year is going to go a long way in keeping pressure on people like Randy Richardville, maybe like Governor Snyder, who are sometimes they'll take more moderate positions. We need to do what we can to slow this down and stop it because it's really gone over the deep end. And I think, you know, when we look at the people who have lined up for it and lined up against it, you see people who are dealing strictly with ideology, strictly with, you know, the call of liberty on the one hand supporting this, and people who are dealing with things like data and crime statistics lining up to oppose it. So I don't think it can be any clearer where we should come down as a society
now,
on this bill.
Yeah, no question that is true. We are going to go to the phones. Again, feel free to join us. And let us welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Tom, thanks for your call this morning. You're on the air with Christine Berry.
Good morning, Tony, and good morning to Ms. Berry. You know, Tony, I got an email about this House Bill 5525, and I'm going, like, I can't believe that this man is going to not eliminate background checks and you'll be able to buy guns online without a check. I mean, you know, it's bad enough the way it is right now. I mean, we've seen all the carnage just here recently and over the last, you know, few years. And don't get me wrong, I mean, me, myself, personally, I feel the only people that need guns are the police and the military, okay? But the Constitution says, you know, we got the right to bear arms. But, I mean, to not have background checks, I sat down and I hand wrote a letter, and I'm going to send it by registered mail up to Senator Richard Dill and see if he'll have the decency to send me a response back to, you know, the question I put to him. Why? You know, when you consider, you know, the kind of powers that they have in terms of legislators, why do something this asinine?
All right, let me let thanks for your call, Tom. Go ahead and respond to that, Christine.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I got the impression we were dealing with some pandering to certain constituencies. Now, Paul Opsommer, who sponsored the bill and introduced it, is termed out. And I don't know what his future plans are, but he's not up for reelection. I do think that there were a lot of votes on this that were campaign-oriented. You know, it didn't come to a vote until August. So, you know, we were already in campaign season. Like I said, the NRA wrote the bill. It started out as a relatively reasonable bill. So there were some technical problems with it, but for the most part, it wasn't that offensive. Now it's crazy. So I'm going to go back to ideology and pandering to certain constituencies.
Yeah, and that's where it becomes so problematic. You know, Tom actually makes a good point. I hate to just go back to the recent shooting in Colorado, but anytime you see a citizen use guns in an inappropriate way, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, how did he get his guns? Well, Tom said it. We are constitutionally guaranteed the right to bear arms, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with that, Christine. But there should be checks and balances in place. We should know with a great deal of certainty if somebody... My dad had a CCW for years. There's nothing wrong with it. I just want to make sure that the people that are carrying guns are fit to be carrying a gun. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times you'll hear some pushback. When you talk about things like background checks and permits to purchase, you hear pushback from the conservative advocates who say, well, you know, then you're only going to have the law-abiding citizens follow these rules. You know, guns are outlawed. Only outlaws will have guns and all this nonsense. But it's just like any other law. When you have a society that is ruled by laws, you follow the laws that you have. You put the best ones in place that you can, and you enforce them as best as you can. And so this, the system that we have makes sense to me. You know, it slows down the purchase. You can't go out and buy a gun on an impulse buy, you know, a pistol anyway. It slows it down. It makes it a more thoughtful procedure. It makes sure that local law enforcement is in the loop, which I just think is smart. And there's a federal background check, which covers things that the locals can't do. So the system that we have, I think, works.
Well, I'm going to tell you the advice. I'm going to give everybody the advice my father gave me. At one point, I was thinking about getting a CCW, and he said, son, let me tell you, not that you can't get trained in how to use it, because you can, not that you can't be more than proficient in it, that you can, but you need to understand something. If you ever have to pull that gun, and you don't think you can pull the trigger if you have to, never carry the gun, because somebody, it'll end up in somebody else's hand. And he's right. That caused great pause for me. I don't know that I could shoot somebody else. I just don't know that I could. And Christine, that's something you really need to know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have any intention of carrying a gun, but it does make me feel safer in my home. I'd like to get a concealed permit because I would just like to do that. maybe have the option to carry, but I don't have any intention of carrying. It would just be another thing I had to carry with me.
Yeah, so. No, I hear you. Well, this was a great conversation, and I missed you. And how's the new job going?
Oh, it's a blast. I absolutely love it. I am just the luckiest person in the world, Tony.
Yes, you are. So. And so am I, because you're in my life. Christine, I love you dearly, and I am so glad that we had you this morning, and we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks as we inch ever closer to Election Day.
Thank you so much, Tony.
God bless you, my friend. Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan.com, as we do our ongoing blog roll segment with her and Chris Savage from eclectablog.com. And Christine had missed a few weeks, so... although they're a little out of sync, it doesn't matter. We don't keep score here on First Shift. In the next half hour, oh my, Trisha Erickson, author extraordinaire. That's right, but she's a conservative. And why am I having her on the show? Well, you're going to have to wait till 9:06 to find out. But trust me, you want to know. We'll take the break here. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. NBC News coming up. Can't wait to get to the next hour. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There's an accident blocking your left lane, I-96, Jeffrey Freeway, westbound at Outer Drive. We also have slow-moving traffic, I-75 southbound between Rochester and 8 Mile Road, and I-94 eastbound between Cecil Street and 14th Street. There's slow-moving traffic there as well. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy and 67. Tonight, a low of 54 with some showers late. Tomorrow, 66 with rain scattered throughout the day, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's